Welcome to the IRS Problems Podcast with Mike Evans and Certified Tax Resolution Specialist Todd Whalen. Mike and Todd will discuss listeners' questions and common problems you might face dealing with the IRS.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the IRS Problems Podcast. I'm Mike Evans, one half of Schlereth & Evans here on The Fan. That is Todd Whalen from Advanced Tax Solutions, who you've been hearing over the years with clients, success stories that he's been able to help with IRS problems. And that's what we're doing here with this podcast. We give you a chance to get some free advice, also pass along questions to Todd that he can answer during the course of our podcast. And as always, welcome you to go to our website, denverfan.com/tax. A little bit about me and then a little bit about Todd, but I've been living in Colorado now for almost 25 years. I can't believe it's been that long. I know I'll never be a native, Todd, but at what point can I claim to be a Coloradan?
I think when you've lived here longer than most of the natives. More than most of them, I think you can call yourself a Coloradoan.
Yes. The natives are very stingy about that. They don't like to hand that designation out very easily. How long have you been in Colorado?
50 years.
50?
Yeah.
But not a native.
No. I came as a child with my parents. So, you know, I my parents...
Well, you're as close to a native as you can be, though, right?
Yeah, I try to claim that when nobody's really paying attention. But yeah, no, I've been here a long time. This is what I know.
Beautiful state, beautiful place to live. I know I bring this up in just about every podcast, but I'm fascinated that you hike the Appalachian Trail. What are the stats on that? Meaning, how long is it start to finish? How long did it take? And can you say it was a life-changing event for you?
Well, let's see. Three great questions. Yes, yes. So yeah, it's a life-changing event. It's just under 2,200 miles. So I think when I did it, it was 2,168 miles, but they reroute. So it's, you know, it changes every few years. And it takes, it took me 6 months and a couple days, 6 months and 3 or 4 days. So I started in spring and I finished at the very beginning of winter. I finished in a blizzard on Mount Katahdin. So I have a picture of me holding the sign and beard full of ice. And but yeah, it was a great time. It's quite a hike. And you know, the thing is, you have so much time to think. Matter of fact, this is what's great about it. There's no TV, there's no entertainment other than what you can entertain with yourself. So it's you, and really you can look at it as a 2,000 mile long, 3 foot wide neighborhood, because there are other people hiking it. You'll pass them and you'll cross, and they leave each other notes in registers. So you kind of get to know people. They're called trail registers at any shelters. You go in and see if somebody left you a note, leave a note for somebody else. So that's your entertainment. The people are fun. It's just the people are what make it great. And then the scenery, it's awesome. It really has, even though it's going through some populated areas, it really does have a very big illusion of wilderness, because they've really guided it away from the city lights. And it really is a good time and life-changing. Yeah. I mean, if you have 6 months to reflect and think about what you love, you come out of that with a plan to go get it.
Yes, that's a lot of time in your own head, man. That is a lot of time in your own head. Woo! What are we trying to accomplish here when you and I sit down and chat? What's the goal here? How would you sum it up for folks watching?
No, we really would like to help people with that have tax problems. I mean, that's my thing. I help people with tax problems. I've done this most of my career, and it's what my skill set is. And in many, many, many cases, people come down and talk with me. They sit down and they're like, all right, here's the situation. like the gentleman last week, they sent in a question, and really the answer was to do nothing, continue on with that payment plan he had, and let the taxes expire with the statute of limitations. Yeah. So, and more often than not, I can tell people how to fix it themselves or how it's going to play out. And so if people have questions, I can at least tell you, okay, yeah, that's a serious problem. No, that's not a serious problem. Here's how you want to go about it. And I really am going to try to point you into at no cost. You know, like a lot of people are like, ah, I have this question. I have this burning question. I don't know what to do. Where can I go? Well, here it is. I mean, for free, we're just trying to help people. I have two businesses. If I feel like they're a better solution for you, I would be happy to point you in that direction. I have Advanced Tax Solutions, which you guys, most of the listeners have heard of, because I've been on the fan for a decade or more. And and then that's a CPA firm, and all we do is help people with tax problems. That's it. And then I also started a do-it-yourself IRS help. So it's a much cheaper way for simpler problems that people can maybe do an offer and compromise or set up a payment plan on their own. So the goal is to give some free advice, point them in the right direction, and then if they need extra tools, point them in the direction of those tools.
There are instances like the one we had last week with a question where basically it was, hey, just maintain the status quo. You can see the finish line, keep it up. But for people who are kind of really kind of in the weeds, you know, and they're kind of embedded in something and they really feel like it's a little overwhelming, kind of walk us through some of the different compromises. They're called offers and compromise. Kind of walk us through some of the different solutions that might be available to people.
Okay. First, kind of an overview of the offer process. It kind of goes like this. When you're sitting here right now today, you're a target for the IRS. So the IRS can have their way with you. They can, you know, if they've done their due diligence, they can levy you, they can do all these bad things. Well, so the first thing you're trying to do, and you may even want to call the IRS and say, hey, I want to submit an offer and compromise. And then please give me 30 days to do it. That way they give you 30 days, no collection activity. That's probably the first thing I would do. And then the second thing is you get it done and you submit it. Now you're waiting, and it usually takes about 3 weeks, 21 days on average, and you get this letter saying, hey, we're going to work your offer and compromise. And that's a great letter. It's called a processability letter. It means you've dodged your T's. Whoops, wait, you crossed your T's. You dodged your I's. Not there. Yeah. Anyway, and and they're going to work the offer. And from that day forward, you don't have to worry about collections anymore. It's over. So that's good news. And then you wait about 6 months, and then the IRS goes through it all and says, all right, give me this information again. They're looking to see if you've improved your situation. And then you start negotiating with them. And so, and that process takes usually a couple months. So an average offer takes 8 or 9 months. It can take over a year. And what you're trying to do is settle with the IRS and negotiate with them. And the negotiations are mostly based on fact, like, you know, what is your cash? Do you have assets? What's the value of those assets? So a lot of the negotiations are based on kind of arguing on value of assets and what amount of income do you have to pay them over time? So, and so depending, so the first thing we would do if you were engaged in a professional or you would do yourself is you'd look at that financial information that you're going to give to the IRS and see if it could pay the IRS. If it can, then you're not going to do an offer. Instead, you're going to do something different, like a payment plan or some other solution. But so that's kind of the bigger picture of how it works, you know, how an offer works and what you're going to do. And it's all based on financial information and then kind of arguing about that. Negotiating. I'm sorry.
Right. What are some of the specific offers and compromise? There's that umbrella, right? OICs, as you like to call them. What are some of the different ones that people should be aware of as alternatives?
Okay, there are three different kinds. There's one, doubt as to liability. In other words, an offer and compromise based on doubt as to liability. that means, hey, I really didn't own this in the first place. Who's going to use that as somebody who maybe got a substitute for return or an audit change where they didn't do a good job with in the audit and they think they have more information? So, you know, there's this one saying, hey, I didn't really owe this money. That's a doubtless liability offer. Then there's another one called that we use all the time is a doubtless to collectability. Like, okay, I owe the money. I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing that I just can't pay you, you know, and that's a doubtless to collectability offer. Now, there's another one called an effective tax administration offer, and it's unfortunately almost a joke. You know, it's saying, hey, I owe the money and I could pay, but there's an extenuating circumstance that maybe I shouldn't have to pay. So meaning, I'm trying to, you know, it's so hard to think of a case that would win that because so few of them do win. We had one, and this is the scenario. I honestly thought we were going to win. The guy is dying. He has a terminal illness. It's documented. He's sick, and he wants to die in his home. He has equity in the home. And so we're like, hey, you know, let's borrow money. We'll pay you something. But the gentleman is sick and he's dying. And so, you know, give us this effective tax administration offer and kind of, you know, but they wanted the equity in the home and they said, no, he can sell, he can sell his home, pay us the equity, live up, rent a place and live off Social Security. And it was just inhumane. I fought that all the way to Washington, D.C., the attorneys in Washington, D.C., and they were like, nope, you can pass, just sell the home and die somewhere else. And it was unbelievably heartless. So we did give them a different solution. So we did win that case, but we used something else called uncollectible status, where it's kind of like a payment plan of zero. And he was able to live in his house the next couple of years until he passed away. So it wasn't a horrible ending, but it was a horrible, anyway. So there is one called effective tax administration, which says, we could pay you and there's an extenuating circumstance that's so bad that you should compromise with us. But I don't know what that would look like if that didn't qualify.
We, of course, welcome people's questions so that you can get some free advice here from Todd. And let's get to one of the questions that we have received. Todd, my fiance says, I can't afford to pay the IRS. She told me she talked with her accountant and he thinks I should qualify.
I'm glad she talked with her accountant because the ones that kill me are the ones that, hey, my wife talked to her uncle. And, right. Yeah, I can't win against the uncle.
Yeah.
Let me look at the facts on that a little bit. I did follow up with an email and this person owed $12,000 for 2019 and 20. Now this one, okay, this is a tougher one. And I'm going to tell you in advance, the answer is maybe. And the reason is so he owes the liability and the spouse doesn't. So based on, and I'm sorry, it's not even the spouse, it's his fiance, and she doesn't owe the debt. So this is a really difficult scenario because she would not provide her income information. So in an offer and compromise, the IRS knows they can't collect from the significant other or spouse or your roommate, whoever you're sharing expenses with. But if you're sharing expenses, you've got a certain amount of expenses, but the person with the liability, in this case, he's not paying all of them. I know it's more than him, but I don't know how much more. But in that case, it's really hard to tell the difference because you have to bifurcate out her income from his. So it would look like this. Let's just say that it was 50-50 to make it really easy. If he made 1,000, she made 1,000, and their expenses were, you know, 1,800, they would split those expenses in half. So he'd only get credit for half of them. So without her income, information. I can't tell how much of the expenses would be allowed. So in his case, it's really hard to say, but I doubt it because, again, he has credit card debt and a payment plan, and he only owes $12,000. But it's just really hard to say because of the non-liable spouse issue. That is it's very common. You know, I owe, she doesn't, whether you're married or not. The IRS is going to say, well, how much of the household expenses do you pay versus her? So you'd have to do an analysis. And in their case, they would have to go through that analysis. And so they need help.
Those are the kind of answers that Todd can give you with some questions. And look, I think I speak for anybody, you know, tuning into this, Todd, is that you're talking about things that can be can seem kind of scary, kind of complex, kind of intimidating. And I would hope that people would use this tool. You mentioned the other than Advanced Tax Solutions, maybe walk people through how they can perhaps do some of this themselves with your assistance.
Sure. Yeah. So in a case like this, this person, I would actually recommend the do-it-yourself IRS help, because the numbers aren't big enough to afford really professional help. You could spend thousands of dollars. And I created, if you guys wanted to look at it, do it yourself. It's DIYIRSHelp.com. So DIY, do it yourself, IRSHelp.com. And there I go through, it's a program I sell. That's a different company than Advanced Tax Solutions. And once you buy that, it's a video series that walks you through every line of the form. And if you don't have that, let's say, you know, on the forms IRAs, well, if you don't have an IRA, you can skip it and go down and literally walks you all the way through. And even in that, I also have a module just on this issue that we just talked about, non-liable spouses or non-liable roommates. And that program is a tenth of professional help. And then in addition, we do every week in that, if you buy that program and you're doing an offer and compromise, every week you can ask questions and I'll answer it in a podcast just for those people. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like this, but it's more specific to the form. This is more like, hey, I have a problem. What's the bigger picture? This is, hey, I'm going through the form. I don't understand this. And every week I spend hours helping people go through this form so they can do it on their own. And so that's just I have that module for offers and compromises, and I have it also for payment plans that are, you know, fairly basic payment plans, because it just helps to know the rules. What will the IRS do? You know, people don't know what a streamlined payment plan is. Well, I explain all that stuff, and I explain how an offer works. I explain how to know if you qualify or not in detail. And I explain, anything you need to know how to do it yourself. So right now, if you get on the website, I think you can, opt in and get a what's called a special report on, it's like the four or five ways to fix a tax problem. I think it's five ways to fix a tax problem. If you get onto there today, and that's at that DenverFan/tax. And if you just sign up for that report, there's a coupon in there for 50% off. So, hey, I'll try to do it for even cheaper. Yep. So anyway, and I would encourage you to ask questions here as far as if you don't know if you qualify for an offer or how, what you should do in a payment plan, ask those questions. I am so happy to answer those. I'll be happy, so please, if I can help you, ask the question, and I am more than happy to spend the time. And if I need follow-up like these people, I'll email you questions and see if I can help you out.
It's a great tool for people to take advantage of with these seemingly complex IRS questions. So whether it's at denverfan.com/tax, you can drop a question that we'll address here during these podcasts, or again, it's DIYIRSHelp.com. Again, DIYIRSHelp.com. All right, Todd, another one in the books. Great job. Thank you very much. We'll do this again very soon. You've been watching the IRS Problems Podcast. I'm Mike Evans. He's Todd Whalen. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the IRS Problems Podcast. If you have a question you'd like answered, please post your question at denverfan.com/tax.